Leo always does candles for me, because I think it's great as an alternative to, within meditation, is to have an open eye meditation. And so with candles, I can use that without saying I'm not looking all over the room. I'm looking right at the flickering flame of the candles, and Leo has different candles every time. Look how beautiful these are. And so to take an opportunity to go within, and you're going to listen to the sound of my voice as I do a guided meditation. And then once we're in the silence, if you need an incantation, but certainly that's the wrong thing. If you need words to say to yourself to interrupt the other voices, just simply say, God is, I am. Say it silently to yourself, God is, I am. I'll remind you of that as we get there. But for now, take a breath and look at the candles. And let the flickering flames of the candles be your friend. As you gently breathe in through the nose and gently breathe out through the mouth. Gently in through the nose and gently out through the mouth. And on this next one in, I'm going to affirm that Christ in me is awake now. It is my favorite affirmation when I meditate, because it reminds me that the Christ, the anointing of spirit, is awake in me now. It's not a person that's awake, it is spirit. It is the divine knowing. As I affirm the Christ in me is awake now, I affirm divine knowing. Because God is intelligence itself. So divine knowing is awake in me now. The Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me, please? The Christ in me is awake now. And as I continue to look at the flames, I realize this Christ awakening, this anointing, allows me to remember what God actually is. I can't describe it. I just know that it is. In actuality, there are not words enough to describe what God actually is. I know that love is awakened in me now. I remember love, but I can't describe it. For there are not words to describe what love is. I know that wisdom and understanding as God is awake in me now, and I can't describe them, but I can know they are awake in me. I can know that light and peace and joy is awake in me now. Again, I can't describe them, but I can know them. I can experience them. I can experience all that God is in and as me now. Because the Christ in me is awake now. The Christ in me, life in me, love in me, joy in me, peace in me, wisdom in me, intelligence in me is awake now. I know that all that God is awake in me now. Let's take that thought into the silence, or if you prefer, simply affirm, God is, I am. God is, I am. Let's go on in with those thoughts and focus on the flame. God is. Because God is, I am. It's very comforting. Remember, we have affirmed that the Christ is in us is awake now. The memory of God is awake in us now. The memory of love and joy and peace and intelligence and presence is awake in us now. Today, we have claimed the memory of the best and the highest, or the highest and the best, is awake in us now. So as we go forth, we expect the best. We expect to think the best. We expect to see the best. We expect to realize the best. And the best is happening, even if it doesn't look as the best that we imagined. We are assured that the best is happening now. So knowing that, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say, thank you and amen. So now let's listen to my friend, Jeff Harner.
I was blue, just as blue as I could be. Every day was a cloudy day for me. Then good luck came knocking at my door. Skies were gray, skies were gray, skies were gray, but they're not gray anymore. Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Bluebirds singing a song. Nothing but bluebirds all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so bright. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies. Nothing but blue skies, nothing but blue. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Thank you, Jeff. Blue Skies, that song, it's one of my favorite songs. And what that's about is, I, from now on, I'm expecting the best. Now, but it's funny, blue can go either direction. Oh, I've got the blues. Or blue skies is a happy thing. And but even I've got the blues, I need to learn how to expect the best from that as well. Rather than criticizing it, there's something wrong with me, I'm not happy, I need to find a way into the truth of it all. My talk today is called Why Unity is My Spiritual Banquet. And the quote that I put with that is, truth is what feeds me, and only truth is true. Truth is what feeds me, and only truth is true. First time I ever heard that, it was, of course, a miracle statement where I heard it. Somebody said it to me, and I thought about that, and I thought, only truth is true. Well, that's pretty simple then, isn't it? I don't have to worry anymore, because that anything that's not true isn't going to be true. I can't make it true. I can't force it to be true, and nobody can force it on me. Do we understand this? Nobody can force what is not truth upon you. They can tell you all sorts of things as if it is the truth. But if it isn't true, it isn't going to be true. And we really have to take this in. We don't have to worry about people lying. Because if it isn't truth, it is never going to be true. Even if somebody believes it as it is, it's never going to be truth. And so pay attention to that in your life and anything that's going on in your life, and including any stories you may tell yourself. You understand what I mean? Any stories you may tell yourself wishing it were true. But if it isn't, it's never going to be true. And truth unto itself, capital T truth, is that which has no opposite. And so we can start to relax and begin to live our lives desiring actual honesty from ourselves. So, you know, we can hope for it from the rest of the world, but we can't force people to tell us the truth. We can't force people not to lie to us. You know, because some people just flat out lie. You know that. But we can worry less about it. Oh, no, they're lying to us. Now I'm going to have to live in lies. No, I don't. I never have to live in lies. Nor do I have to tell them. I don't have to go on my Facebook page and say, oh, no, the end of the world has come. The end of the world has not come. Perhaps the beginning of a new world has come, but the end of the world has never come. And we ought not be so attached to the world and all the many foibles in it, all the many confusions within it. Our job is to work on knowing the truth. Now, the frustrating part about knowing the truth is it doesn't have words. Any words I have to describe anything, of course, will limit it. That's what I was talking about in my meditation there. As God is for, you know, God, I can't describe God, because any description I would have of God would limit God. Any description I would have of love would limit love. Any description I would have, any words I try to apply to any true actual aspect of God itself will only limit it with words. That's why in the old days they said you can't say the word God. It's not that it was a sin to say the word God. You know, how many times you've seen G-D, as if that makes the difference. God, I could say the word all day long. But by saying it, I will only indicate it. I can't actually say what it is. But I am willing for my own practice and my own peace of mind to know that whatever God is, it is good. And so my practice is to use it correctly rather than incorrectly. It is you to use it to accept that all beings are divine. All of life is divine, whether it is practiced by all beings or not. Because I can turn on my TV and find lots of people to criticize. How about that? Or I can go upstairs to my bathroom mirror right now, where I happen to have a video monitor in front of me and a camera, where I can find all sorts of confusion, ways to criticize. But that's not going to get me to the truth that feeds me, and I am fed by truth. Truth feeds me. And so I've got to look at that and say, oh, but what's the truth about this lovely little face you see in front of you? What's the truth here? What's the truth in my story? Is there any truth in any criticism I have? And some might say, yes, well, they're doing this, and that's the truth. No, that might be a fact. They're doing this. But that's not the truth. We must go to God. We must go within and ask, what is the truth here? What is the real message here? Tell me what to think. I'm open and receptive as to how to think in truth around this, as opposed to criticizing it or sending myself into fear. And why would I send myself into fear except I am afraid that this world is going to be an awful place if this chaos continues? But and I don't give myself enough credit for maintaining the chaos. I haven't educated myself enough about ridding myself of the chaos within my own mind. See, that's where the chaos lives, because I decide this means this and this means this, and oh, look at that, and they said this and they said it this way, and oh my gosh, what are we going to do? The world is collapsing. And I'm the one making it collapse. Let it begin with me is the solution. Let there be peace on and in earth, and let it begin with me. I was looking at our mission statement and our vision statement because I said, why, unity feeds me. Our vision, a world consciously unified in love that leaves no one out and invites everyone in. Well, are you doing that? Is there anyone you are leaving out of your love? Are you even aware of the amount of love that is within you? A world consciously unified in love that leaves no one out and invites everyone in. You're a member of unity. Well, whether it's a legal member or you are a regular attendee, you are a part of the unity family and the makeup of unity and the consciousness of unity. So are you doing your part? Are you letting it begin with you to create, not just let it be passively, but to create a world consciously unified in love, excuse me, that leaves no one out and invites everyone in? Today, I invite you to look at your list. Look at your list of who you're not inviting in. I'm sure you can find them rather quickly, probably faster than the ones you can find that you're letting in, because the emotions are much stronger about the people who are leaving out. And so to look at it, oh, but this is my mission. It's my mission. A world to create, it's my vision. It's my vision, which is a world consciously unified. Am I willing to see that? Am I willing to actually see that in my mind, in my heart, and then in my world? To know that, oh, I see a world unified in love, and I'm not leaving anyone out. In fact, I'm inviting everyone in. And then we look at our mission, to provide a spiritual home where community may gather and know all good comes from God within. So again, look, think about those people you've left out within your vision. Sorry, just getting over a cold here. And anybody you've left out, are you going to invite them in to gather with us? Is there anybody you wouldn't have gather with us in spirit and in truth, so that we all together may know that all good comes from God within? Because you and I are responsible. You must understand this. We are responsible not to create peace. Peace is created. But to embrace peace for all of us, all beings everywhere. And if there's someone or several someones, you just cannot find yourself allowing yourself to invite in. Find somebody to talk to about it. Find a spiritual mentor to talk to about this, because you have a genuine desire, a true desire. We were reading the other day, I put it right here. In the Eye of the Storm on Tuesday, we basically made it through the first sentence of the introduction. And the Gary Simmons says, "No one is against you. This is the absolute truth." Well, a couple of people took exception to that. What do you mean no one is against me? But I am this race, or I am this sex, or I am this whatever. What do you mean no one is against me? I go out in the street every day, and there's people against me in the newspapers. And I said, no, they're not against you. They may be against what you represent within your body, your skin color, and what have you, your race, your religion, your sexuality. But they're not against you. And that is the absolute truth. I believe that as God is for me, no one and no thing could be against me. And I go back to what I started with. We make too much of the world. The world really should be a beautiful home for us to enjoy and appreciate. And it's what it seems to be is an opportunity for us to work through our doubts and our disbeliefs and our prejudices and our fears. And to look at that and say, I want better than that. I think I am promised better than that. I think Unity promised me that when I came in the doors. Unity promised me a better God than a limited God. Unity promised me a vitally alive, healthy body. Unity promised me, it promised me I have to participate. I had a thought today that I prayed for the willingness to row the boat that I'm on. And it is the fellowship, as it were, that created the oars, created the information on how to row. And it is God that is the boat. The water is what we're rowing through. And it represents all sorts of different things. And we row through it because we want to get to shore, which is the place of assurance. And so, but this message that Unity provides, that the truth teachings provide, those are the oars for me to row with. You know, all those wonderful affirmations and those wonderful, denials and everything. So something like this vision, a world consciously unified in love that leaves no one out and invites everyone in. And it's painful to think about that, because I want to go on my Facebook page and say, yes, I want to leave this one out, and I want to leave this one out, and how dare they do this to me, and how dare that, and I want to go to the grocery store and find people to offend my sensibilities. And then I'll drive down the highway, and I'll find people to offend my sensibilities. All these people that I would leave out of my home, my spiritual home, and I can't afford to do that anymore, because I want the joy that has been promised to me. I want the actual experience of love that has been promised to me. Therefore, my mission to provide a spiritual home where community may gather and know that all good comes from God within. Community may gather. Community may gather, not just my select community, but community. And I know how hard that can be. You know, we can't just have the poor things come in. And we can't have the people who don't seem to treat me. We have to let them in too. We got to let people in. Think of your heart. Let them into your heart. If you don't want to let them in the building yet, let them in your heart. And begin to think about them differently. Begin to pray about them differently. Spirit, tell me what to think about these people. Tell me the truth about these beings. Tell me the truth about myself and what I've been thinking about them. Tell me the truth of what I've been thinking. Now, I'm going to read from, you know, my favorite book here, The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. And it comes from the book of Matthew, And Matthew 19, verse 10 through 12, and it says, following my path, meaning Spirit's path, is following a path that leads you from the world to the truth. As you follow the path, the things in the world will become less important to you. Let them fall away as your desire for them ends. You do not need the world. It is me that is needed now. Now, some extremists go, oh, so I'm just supposed to drop dead. Oh, that sidewalk out there shouldn't exist. No, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, I value what is temporary, which is the world. The world's temporary, the physical world. It's temporary. I don't know how long it's going to last. I am open if it lasts for till there is no time. But at the same time, what this is saying is, lead you from the world to the truth. Well, that world it's talking about then must be what's untrue. It must be where I judge the world in a limited way. Because remember, I don't have words for God, but I have words for limitation. I don't have words for love, but I have words for hatred. I have words for confusion. So to pay attention to that. So as you follow the path, the things in the world will become less important to you. People lying to you will become less important to you. Why? Because you love them. How about that? People who are confused will have far less importance to you because they're of the world. And your love is more important. The love of God, the love that is has become more important to you. This is just so wonderful. It says, let them fall away as your desire for them ends. You do not need the world, meaning you do not need love and hatred to spur you on. You do not need fear and confusion and disappointment to adrenalize. I don't even know if that's a word, but it sounds nice. To adrenalize you, to get you going. Let the truth that is feed you. Let what we teach here in Unity be your banquet that feeds you. Let the spiritual food that you know to be true, that you know has no opposite, let that be your spiritual food. So that way, that which isn't true, lack, bad weather, you know, suddenly there won't be any such thing as bad weather. There'll be weather. So I really, really encourage each and every one of us, myself included, to look at life differently, to look at this world differently so that I don't need it to think I'm alive, that I don't need conflict to think I'm alive, because sometimes we do that. We don't even know we're doing it. I can't stress highly enough to actually desire and then be responsible for creating a world consciously unified in love. It's our mission statement, or our vision, excuse me. It is our vision. It's that which we see before we see it. A world consciously unified in love, to see that now. A world consciously unified in love that leaves no one out and invites everyone in. See yourself at the doors of our church saying, welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on in. We're about to sing together. We're about to laugh together. About to pray together. And everyone is worthy of the good that we do here. And so therefore, the mission, as you open the door, to provide a spiritual home where community may gather and know that all good comes from God within. Because where else could it come from? God is a divine idea. Love is a divine idea. My whole manifested world started with a divine idea. And it comes into this physical for as long as it needs to. So everybody, Let's take this statement. I got to look at it a second to make sure I get it right. Truth. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Truth is what feeds me. And only truth is true. Anything that's not truth is never going to be true. Love feeds me in its purest form. Presence feeds me in its purest form. Power feeds me in its purest form. And in all this aspect of God, it's feeding me and it provides me with everything that I could need and then some, because I won't be pushing it away. I'll be saying, come on in. Come on into my consciousness. Let me share my consciousness with you. Truth is what feeds me, and only truth is true. We have a beautiful fellowship here at Unity of New York. And Jeff Harner has another song that I thought was so great to allow us to see each other, the fellowship that we know and the fellowship we haven't met yet. Thank you.
I search for phrases to sing your praises, but there aren't any magic adjectives to tell you all you are. You're just too marvelous for words like glorious, glamorous, and that old standby, amorous. It's all too wonderful. I'll never find the words that say enough, tell enough. I mean, they just aren't swell enough. You're much too much, and just too very, very to ever be in Webster's dictionary. And so I'm borrowing a love song from the birds to tell you that you're marvelous, too marvelous for words. Like adorable and amorous and glorious and glamorous, they're insufficient when applied to you. To be euphemistical, to be eulogistical, I'd have to come up with a million words I never thought I knew. I try to be logical and sensible, but I'm incomprehensible whenever I begin to find a phrase. For they never say enough, they never tell enough. I already told you no vocabulary swell enough. What'll I do to say the things I have in mind? It's really absurd, there isn't a word to fit you. No matter where I look, I only seem to find delectable, delirious, magnificently mysterious. You're simply too spectacular to be in my vernacular. And so you see, I'm forced to go to the birds. The reason must be quite apparent, for you are just too utterly, utterly wonderful and marvelous for words. You're just too marvelous, too marvelous for words. Like rapturous, fabulous, your voice is tintinnabulous. It's all too wonderful, an ordinary word. Like magical, mystical, seems much too apathistical. The sweetest words in Keats and Shelley's lyrics aren't sweet enough to be your panegyric.